The reading is the whole of Revelations, and you can find it on page 1235. The Church in Sardis. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who is victorious will, like them, be dressed in white. I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the Church of Philadelphia. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be the Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on them the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on them my new name. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches.
To the church in Laodicea. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. As I said at the beginning, Jodie was to have preached on the readings that we've just heard. And in summary, it was a message to three of the churches. There were seven in all, but this chapter was to three churches. And the message for Sardis was to wake up. Jesus tells them that technically they're alive, but they're starting to look a bit dead. It's time to wake up and get back on the right path. And the message for the Church of Philadelphia was more of a commendation and was telling them to persevere with where they were. And the message for the Church at Laodicea was, you are lukewarm. So today, as I said earlier, I felt led to the reading. This is actually for today, which talks about Jesus as he began his ministry. So let us pray. God of mercy, your son Jesus proclaimed good news to the poor, release to the captives, and freedom to the oppressed. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit and set us free to hear your word and to act upon it. Amen. So I'm going to read the gospel for today. And it says this from Luke 4, verses 14 to 21. If you want to look at it and follow it, it's on page 1031. 1031. Luke 4, 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and he stood up to read. He read the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus's sermon in his hometown of Nazareth is not only a life-giving, changing sermon, it was a life-changing act. Luke places this story at the start of Jesus' ministry because it is the foundations of the gospel. He emphasizes God's openness to Gentiles in his mission statement. So it wasn't just a gospel for Jews. And this favoritism offended the Jews and eventually led to Jesus' crucifixion. He was rejected by the multitude who heard him, and they crucified him because of their sins. So when Jesus came to the temple in Nazareth, he had been waiting 30 years. I can't get out of my mind, because Paul mentioned that when we were looking at the baptism of Christ. And I don't know about you, but I know I waited a very long time for what I felt God was calling me to do, to be a reader. Of course, he had other ideas as well, but that's a by the by. But 30 years for preparation for the Son of God. So let's be encouraged today. God is calling you. He has a purpose for you. And whether it's today, tomorrow, or 20, 30 years' time, he's got that message for you. So let that be an encouragement to us today. Now, his foundation was in the synagogue. He was a Jew, and he went to the synagogue regularly. So he comes and he reads, as many of you do, from the Word of God. He read from the words of Isaiah, chapter 61. Now, these words are similar to the Great Commission when Jesus sent his disciples out to preach, teach, and baptize. Jesus' mission is to bring good news. That is the good news of Christ. And he came to proclaim release for captives, to restore the sight of the blind, to free the oppressed. And this standing up in the synagogue sets the agenda for Jesus' ministry. And it is also our commission. It sets our agenda today. Jesus' ministry involved loving the unloved and serving the undeserving. And he wants us to do the same. Because we are all weak physically and spiritually. And what Jesus said about the scripture being fulfilled this day when he stood up in the synagogue, it reads a bit like a revolution, especially when it referred to ending the world as people knew it and creating a new world, when the poor would hear the good news, when captives would be set free, when the oppressed would be liberated, and God would work in their lives as he does in ours. Now, Jesus knew exactly what the people needed to hear that day, and he knew exactly what he wanted to share with them, all of the people in the synagogue, and all of us today. Come with many different needs. Many in our society, those we know, are in a difficult place, are imprisoned by many different things, are, if they're not physically blind, spiritually blind. For we are all captives to something. Whether it is to be a workaholic, whether it's to television, technology, or another addiction, we are all captives. But all of us can be awakened and healed and brought to God's anointing power, because Jesus can inspire, can enliven our lives. He can guide us, soothe us, comfort us, can welcome us, and can transform our lives, as I have seen in many different lives. I can testify to that transformation which God's life-giving spirit brings. And then is this reading, it talks about a jubilee, a forgiveness of the debt of sin. Reminds me of the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, Forgive us our debts as we forgive, as we ourselves forgive each one who is in debt to us. So a biblical jubilee was rather special. It happened every 50 years. The fields lay fallow. Families returned to their ancestral home. Debts were cancelled and slaves were set free. What a marvellous thing for there to have been this opportunity for things to be levelled out every half century. So when is our next 50 years? As soon as possible, I hope. So faith in a sovereign God was reflected in the structures of the life in which those people lived. But the community started afresh. And so, see today that Jesus' Jubilee is every day, because we have the opportunity to actually start afresh in that walk of faith today. And we have those promises from God. So what a marvellous message that Jesus brings to that community in the synagogue, of all those things that will be made new. Now, when I hear that passage read, I am transported to a visit to the Holy Land when I stood in that place where Jesus read from that scroll. It was very lucky that we actually got into this place, because we were running late. And like a lot of things, they close at 12 o'clock. And it was after 12 o'clock. And our guide, bless him, managed to get us in. So I've always got this memory of standing in this space, very similar size to here. And this is where Jesus read that scroll. For me, my visit to the Holy Land was just at the start of my ministry as a reader, very early on. And it was a life-changing experience for me, visiting those sites where Jesus stepped and went, reading the scripture at locations where the stories took place, or where tradition said they took place, being in the shepherd's fields, receiving communion. But as I thought about preparing for today, I thought that this mission statement was also a life-changing experience for those who heard it. And it is for us, because we are reminded again, and how many reminders do we need? I know I do, every minute of every day, that Jesus did come to change my life. It was a life-changing experience, and it still is. Now, Jesus was on this mission, and when he went to the synagogue of his hometown, I wonder what the people thought. This lad that they knew, that they'd grown up with, actually standing up, reading was one thing, speaking about it was another. The carpenter's son, my goodness me, what's he doing standing up, giving us this message, this mission? People get different things out of going to church, depending, it would seem, on what they expect to get when they get there. So I wonder what they were expecting. What were they expecting when he read to get out of the service? I'm sure they didn't expect what they heard. And then he says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. My goodness me. So who knows exactly what they were expecting? He hadn't done a whole lot yet anyway. We're only in the fourth chapter of Luke. He's been baptized. He's gone into the wilderness. And this is the beginning of his ministry. We're told in the paragraph just before this reading that report about him spread throughout all the surrounding countries. But we're not told what exactly that report consisted of. As I said, my guess is that the people were expecting something, but most had no idea what that something was. In any case, the people of Nazareth weren't ready for the anointing presence of the Holy Spirit to come into that synagogue that day. And after he makes this little declaration that the prophecy of Isaiah had come to fulfillment in their presence, think about that, what that meant. And in fact, they were so angry, they sent him packing. Is this congregation in Nazareth all that different from our own congregation? Don't we all come to church expecting something? But do any of us really take time to articulate what that might be? What do you expect? Some of us, I suppose, expect to hear a good sermon. Not too long, not too short, something that we can relate to. Some of us expect to hear a nice hymn or song, maybe familiar hymn or song, some that we can reach, something that we can sing, something that we know. Some of us expect to be welcomed and to see people we know, and that we do receive here. And when it's all over, we do expect that nice cup of coffee or tea or biscuit or chocolate or whatever else. We do very well, don't we? But it's a challenge for me, and I hope it's a challenge for you as well. Are we really expecting the Spirit of God to actually show up every Sunday? Do we expect the news to be good in the sense that he hears our prayers, he answers our prayers, he forgives us our sins? Do we expect that when we go for prayer, we will receive healing? We will hear God's voice? Do we expect release, recovery? Do we believe that God answers prayer for the ending of oppression or whatever it is that we and others carry? And do we really want that? Would that be quite hard for us? Would we rather just receive a little comfort, a hug? Or will we go for the all that God can give us? So are we ready to receive God's manifestation of everything that is before us? Are we ready to open our eyes? Are we ready to receive from him and from one another? This reading I'm quite challenged about, because although it is a very familiar reading, it is Jesus, if you like, mission statement. It is all that he was. But it's also, it is about other people as well as ourselves. It isn't just about us. It's all about everybody and what we are called to be. So Jesus' sermon in Nazareth is not just about wanting to make lives better, but it is about setting people free to be all that God can make them and give them. All that God has possible for them, the life that he wants for them to live. They may never have known that freedom, or you may never have known that freedom, but you may have an ache in your heart of that that you want to happen. So in this day, just imagine what that gift might be for you. And know that you have the opportunity to receive it. So what did this message mean to the people in the synagogue that Jesus preached, to whom Jesus preached? And what does it mean to us today? To the people in the synagogue, it was a message that he was the promised Messiah, the anointed one sent by God to redeem his people. That message is the same today. And we are called, yes, that is Jesus' mission statement. We have a very brief mission statement. And this is what our mission statement is. It's talking about Jesus. To know him, to follow him, to share him. So as we look forward, as we say farewell, it's all part of the same thing. We have been here in tent, hall, hut. We have been here. We are the people of God. Our mission statement words may be reviewed and changed, but the essence of it is the same. You are here, I am here, because God has called you here. And God has called you to share with other people if ever our world needed to be changed. Look, the news this morning, a homeless man burnt in a tent. People crying out to come to another country because of what's going on in another country. Cold, hungry. They're just two examples of our world. God called us to make a difference. So know him, follow him, share him. Be released from everything that is in your heart that needs to be changed, and step forward with joy and gladness today. So let us pray. So Father, we thank you this day that we are here. And we thank you, Lord, that you are Jesus, Lord of our lives. So, Father, as we come to you in this day, we hear you speaking to us. We know that you bring release, you bring love, you bring healing. And you want to bring that to us and to our world, to our community. So, Father, we pray as we journey with you, you will walk with us. And as you walk with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, may we put our hands in yours. And may we be led to all that you have for us, the joy and the gladness, the release, the healing, and the blessings that you bring. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.